Hey guys, the show's about to start. Sit back, relax, take a hit, and enjoy.
I know I'm right in the chest, bit dog. Pull the white walls, no flex involved.
Dope Talk Radio with Mountain Man and the Wizard. The Wizard.
Hey guys, tonight's creepypasta is The Day God Blinks by Unpatriotic over there on No Sleep Reddit. So make sure you guys go over there and give him a like in upscale or whatever it is, his Reddit post. But hope you guys enjoy.
There was no sudden jolt, no collapsing into unconsciousness, no transition into utter darkness and back again, nothing. For everyone, time had appeared to pass as normal, 1 second moving uneventfully into the next. Birds flew, people talked. The wind and the rain blew and fell respectfully. Nothing had occurred to indicate that anything untold or unexpected had happened to the inhabitants of Earth. Only those who looked beyond our planet and its rings, constantly chattering satellites, now found the rest of the universe told a different story. NASA and related space agencies noticed first. Signals to ongoing missions beyond those in orbit around the Earth were all off by almost 30 minutes. Frantic investigations revealed that the same time discrepancy was occurring for all incoming signals. Naturally, they came to the conclusion that the problem must therefore lie not with the external elements, but with the computers on Earth. But this led to a bigger question. One computer glitch was possible, but all of the various space agencies' computers across the globe showing the same failure at the same exact time? Naturally, a virus or sophisticated global hacking attack was the next obvious answer. An international team to investigate such large, well-coordinated cyber attacks was being discussed when the first calls of alarm came in from confused and concerned astronomers, and the true significance of what had actually happened became unknown. Using data retrieved from telescope arrays at Jordan Bell, Palo Alto, Mount Pleasant, and others across the world, confirmed against existing stellar records and computational models of the local galaxy and beyond, it became apparent that for 27 minutes and 54 seconds, the Earth had somehow been out of sync with the rest of no time and space. In essence, the world as we knew it had winked out of existence during this period, and then returned as if nothing had happened. For all intent and purposes, during that short window of time, we had ceased to be. The international investigation team was repurposed, a blank check written, given its pick of resources and best minds of the fields, all to investigate this one event and all sworn to utmost secrecy. None of them needed to be told the panic that would ensue if the information became public about a suitable and hopefully reassuring reason could be given for the event. Those that couldn't be silent were quickly silenced themselves. Despite the various project names assigned to the sub-teams, those involved began referring to the event in half-joking manner as the day God blinked. In casual conversation between project members, this was eventually shortened even further to just the blink. After 6 rings, Ben finally answered the door.
Mark, what are you doing here?
You invited me, remember?
Did I? How odd. Well, I probably had a reason at the time. Well, it's still good to see you anyway. Come on in.
I'd known Ben since childhood. We attended the same schools for a while before his crazily high IQ led him to a fast track to higher education and beyond. We kept in touch, though. His parents were sensible enough to realize he needed some grounding in the real world and encouraged our friendship with the usual sleepovers and camping trips. Their smarts lay in forcing Ben not to let his social skills atrophy completely like a lot of very intelligent kids did. As a result, whilst he frequently sidetracked and was forgetful, he still functioned in normal society with a degree of success. After our respective schooling had finished, we both moved into an IT industry, although working vastly different levels. For myself, I now worked in tech support, mostly maintaining insurance systems for a range of small independent companies. Boring, but paid well and allowed me to travel. He, on the other hand, was a self-employed and preferred working with his apartment of solitude, as he called it, referring to himself as a consulting technician. He'd gotten the idea from watching reruns of Sherlock Holmes. His work was a lot more varied and advanced, and whilst he never openly admitted to hacking, he certainly had enough technical knowledge and experience to have been employed in the past by such names as Google, Microsoft, and IBM. When they needed someone to test the all-new, unshakable security they had just put in place, or track down those that had subsequently been able to breach their all-new, unshakable security, he preferred the latter work, he told me. It added to the thrill of the chase. Plus, it usually paid better. What was less known was the work he occasionally did off the books for such groups as the Department of Defense and the NSA. He admitted his working for them was twofold. One, they wanted his expertise and brilliance. And two, it allowed them to keep tabs on his expertise and brilliance. He didn't mind this, as he explained once.
Well, keeps them happy knowing where I am and what I'm doing, or at least what they think I'm doing.
And then he'd grin and pass the latest decoded email he'd intercepted. He didn't do anything with the stuff he found. He just enjoyed the challenge. To be completely honest, sometimes it was hard to pin down just who Ben was. His motivation were for one moment to the next. Just grown up accepting him and his eccentricities. Quickly, coming to the conclusion, his life was a complex pattern of impulse ideas woven together from threads that were as much madness as genius. There was his belief that every time everyone said abracadabra, an angel lost its wings, or the common cold existed as a vast hive mentality that avoided detection by its elements consistently hopping from body to body. Mad, crazy shit like that. Half the time, I thought he was joking. For the rest, I just hoped he had enough common sense to rein it in public. Then there were the times he did and said things that ended on the opposite end of that, when what he said made absolute, unnerving sense. On those occasions, he spoke with a lucidity that seemed to cut through the crap humankind had built around its certainties and beliefs that we should all by rights know. All I could do those times was marvel at how someone with such a kaleidoscope for a brain, entertaining such a maelstrom of contradictory thoughts consistently, could suddenly bring all those elements together to produce those single blindingly white lights of truth. Then he'd suddenly go off on a tangent, accusing his neighbors of being CIA agents, trailing neurotoxins on the local cats, and we'd be back to normal. Still, I came to his summons. Despite the crazed theories and odd habits, it was definitely the most entertaining conversation around. Plus, his library of illegally downloaded films was truly a wonder to behold. That, and he was my friend. It was during a piece of work for NASA, idling through their security systems looking for proof of Area 51 during his time, that led him to first discover, then piece together all the facts concerning March 25th and the Blink. Founded by international teams so far. Being his only close friend, he decided to fill me in on this ongoing conspiracy, mainly so he could show off his talents once more, hence the invitation. As he spoke, he appeared completely oblivious to how my face was gradually growing more and more incredulous. He described what the World Space Agencies and astronomers had discovered and how a secret scientific think tank was now investigating what had happened. Physicians, quantum theorists, mathematicians, the whole spectrum of science, all focused on this one problem and the questions associated with it. What had happened, why it had happened, and most importantly, was it likely to happen again? And if so, what was the risk of it being permanent? He told me of total news blackouts, and how any amateur astronomer or similar who now came to the same conclusions were either being brought on board, treated as cranks, or disappeared with extreme prejudice. Their biggest fear was a mass panic, he said, or the world's religions taking credit on behalf of their respective gods and several genocidal wars kicking off in result. As he said,
there's nothing more disconcerting, I guess, than not being able to trust your own reality. We've been raised in a world where it's fine to distrust your government, your employees, even your family, but your entire existence? Definitely a recipe for chaos. Places like Siren have been placed on almost permanent hiatus. The governments of the world have no proof experiments like the ones they are doing. They are the cause. But then, I suppose they had to point the finger somewhere, until more evidence showed up. There's a lot of theoretical work being done now, but pretty much zero practical. I guess it's a matter of time before they get the script writers in from Doctor Who to brainstorm a possible cause.
He sighed at this, sat back in his swivel chair and spun round, gazing at the ceiling, seamlessly lost in thought. Then he'd slowly come to a stop and return his gaze to me, as a mischievous twinkle in his eye.
Then on the other side, you have all the religions.
At this, he paused again, looked around at his cluttered desk, and then started building what looked like the tower out of various bits and pieces. As it slowly grew in height, he continued speaking.
Remember our Bible classes? I like the various stories, if not the morality. I especially like the story of Babel.
The rising structure of books, hard drives, chocolate bars, magazines, and other random items his hands could find and reach had risen to the height of just below his chin. He added a few more items, adding to the peculiar sway it had already had. Pausing again, his hands not touching it, but spread wide either side, ready to stop an intimate collapse. He attempted the voice of an old English vicar delivering a sermon.
Well, many a project, plan, or piece has ruined by the inability of people to understand each other. It might be that humanity is overreaching itself again, with the final proof of the existence of the Higgs boson. Maybe God's decided we're getting too close again, and he's selfish about his tricks. Time for another lesson, perhaps.
At this, he slowly closed his hands into a fist on either side of the precarious edifice he had created. Then with a single finger, gingerly pushed it near the top. With a crash, his metaphorical tower scattered across the table and to the floor. He waited until the sound of the books and rubbish falling and died away before speaking again. This time, in a thoughtful voice.
Maybe the blink, as they call it, was God giving us a heads up, a warning to stop encroaching on his intellectual property, else risk the consequences.
Then he grinned, his tried and true atheism once more reasserting itself.
Personally, looking at all the facts so far accumulated, I believe the answer lies even further afield,
he said, a knowing smile on his face. I took a comfort break at this point, shaking my head at this new conspiracy theory. When I got back, he moved on already. His head now buried in the side of a PC tower case, now perched on a different desk he had reserved for mechanical endeavors. It was quiet for a while, broken only by the humming as he fiddled inside the case, whilst I looked around for somewhere reasonably clean to sit. Then abruptly he spoke again, his voice oddly masked by the case.
As I was saying, I believe the answers they seek lie further afield. I have statistical proof, in fact.
Statistics? You? He'd often laughed at statistics in the past and blamed them for 63.75% of the world's ills. In his mad pedantry, he had indeed worked out a formula that had proved this figure. That being said, he told me once he could destroy the world with a single spreadsheet. And in my more fatalistic moments, I honestly believed him.
I accept statistics and all their perceived infallibilities are the most fallible things in the world.
He mumbled from inside the case, reaching aimlessly for a screwdriver on the desk next to him, and with a hand colored orange and black from a mix of grease and Cheetos.
Take a work of fiction and add numbers to it, and suddenly it becomes nonfiction. Add a pie chart and a graph, and it becomes an inviolate truth.
Bollocks, said I, only half listening as I lounged on a large, dirty beanbag chair littered with wrappers and odd wire. He had then retracted his head from the case, looked me in the eyes, and said with a devilish glint of his own,
pass it to the right people in the right places at the right time, and it becomes law.
I replied, deciding not to entertain his paranoid fantasies further in favor of a magazine I'd just found on the floor, amongst all the other junk haphazardly discarded as part of his less than ordered, less than sanitary lifestyle. He grunted at my lack of enthusiasm for continuing one of his favorite topics, buried his head back in the tower case once more before continuing away.
However, in those cases, I'm referring to your basic bias statistics, marketing, pressure group, political, that kind of unreliable crap. Now, pattern recognition, that element within the field, otherwise exportable statistics, that I do have time for.
Extracting his head again, he looked around the desk the case was on, shifting papers this way and that as he continued, partially lost in thought.
You heard of SETI, of course.
Hold on, if we're heading into alien territory, you can kiss my ass right now. He fixed me a glare, and I threw my hands up in the air in recognition, muttering, I'm sorry, please continue, oh knowledgeable one.
Thank you. SETI, the search for extraterrestrial life, one of their jobs being to analyze signals bouncing in and around our local galaxy.
Of which they have never found any conclusive proof of intelligent life, I reminded him pointedly. He ignored me.
What if the patterns they've been looking for are wrong? What if you could analyze these seemingly random signals another way? What if there is a pattern, but it's spread over a longer period so you don't even see it as a pattern? Aha!
Triumphantly, his hands came out of the pile of books, clutching a pad of post-it notes, scattering the books across the desk in doing so. Fishing a pen from his trouser pocket, I saw him scribble "to do" on the top of a note, slap it on the side of the tower case, before turning around to face me with an excited grin on his face. Have you been watching the Discovery Channel again? Is the UFO special on this week? I asked pointedly. He looked at me indignantly, though I noticed he quickly closed the TV guide that had been opened on his desk amongst the mess.
What if I told you I had written my own pattern recognition algorithm? What if I told you that I found a message in those signals?
Bullshit, I said quietly, suddenly less sure of myself, now more than a little shaken by what this meant if he had indeed discovered a message from an alien race.
Well, it wasn't easy,
he continued, feigning an air of false modesty.
And I do have the NSA to thank. Although if they discover I've been running this algorithm in the background of their decryption supercomputer, then I may have to leave abruptly or apologize. You never can tell what mood they'll be in one day to the next.
Ben, what about the message? I said firmly, cutting him short, standing him face to face.
Oh, that.
He went quiet, looking around evasively. My doubts quickly returned. What about the message, Ben?
Well, it was short and really rather impressive decoding. Anything like this, obviously.
Ben! He paused and then suddenly objected.
Hello, are you content?
There was a few seconds silence before I started laughing uncontrollably, mostly out of relief. Ben looked indignant.
Well, I think it's a very poignant message, better than prepare to be annihilated. Oh God, hold on. I can't breathe. You had me shitting myself there.
I take it then you don't believe what I found is a message from an alien race. Would you please stop laughing?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ben, you've got to admit, if you were to imagine contact with another species, I think I'd be looking for something a little more, I don't know, profound? I mean, we've sent out a gold disc giving a snapshot of the human race, our knowledge, music, mathematics, you name it. And what do the hyper-intelligent aliens send back? The equivalent of, have a nice day.
You don't think it's from outer space, then?
He reiterated. I looked at his pained expression and answered in a more reasonable voice. Look, Ben, I'm sorry. I think your algorithm found a pattern that wasn't there,
an exploited meeting from it. Turning, I returned to the beanbag and my pursuit of the magazine. He stood there a few moments and then turned and flopped down in a large, comfortable swivel chair behind the desk. This one littered with laptops in various states of construction and deconstruction, connected by an array of cables in what appeared like haphazard fashion. Pressing the on switch, three of them, his face was illuminated with the telltale glow of their screens. His focus filtering between the screens and his fingers dancing across the keyboards in front of him. He had nevertheless decided to continue and began outlining his newest theory.
I disagree. I'll go even further and state that this is an alien species with an interest in the human race, a species directly involved in the evolution of mankind.
Here we go. Are we really back on the engineer's theory once more? Has Ridley Scott been sending you secret messages in his films again?
I muttered, not looking up from the page I was now reading. He ignored this and continued.
Think about it. The human body is an amazing machine. It regulates itself, heals itself, and has the ability to create more of itself through reproduction.
I thought you only believed in things you had experienced for yourself, I asked, peering over the top of the magazine at him, my voice now openly amused. I saw him scowl before he continued with his monologue.
As I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, the human body is an amazing machine, and that's exactly what it is. A piece of technology, built using biological parts rather than mechanical ones. It is not, however, a perfect machine.
What do you mean? I asked, despite myself.
Well, think about it. It has its own defense capabilities in the form of white blood cells to ward off illness, the ability to heal wounds, etc., etc. Occasionally, though, this excellent piece of machinery goes wrong. It functions incorrectly. It has a faulty piece of code, if you will. The immune system can start overreacting,
attacking normal healthy cells, or maybe it fails in its job in attacking the defective ones. It should be dealing with letting them grow and expand unchecked.
Such as?
Why, of cancer, of course.
What?
I asked, shocked despite myself. It was only another crazy conversation with Ben, but the word cancer always sent involuntary shivers down my spine.
I'd seen enough of its effects on friends and family to be adverse to its mentioning. Ben, though, obvious to my discomfort, had continued.
Cancer is just one example of the body failing to perform its defined function. An internal failure of biological system. A mistake. Nothing more. We have, in essence, a design flaw. And if our god or gods are supposedly infallible, then logic dictates we are not built by a benign, omnipotent being, but rather are constructs of more fallible ones. Action should have been taken to rectify these errors. To complain, if you will.
Despite myself, I took another look over the magazine at him. Nervous now for a reason I couldn't quite put my finger on. What did you do?
Why, I sent a message back telling them this, of course.
Hey guys, and thank you for tuning in to another Creepypasta brought to you by Toke Talk.
Hope you guys enjoyed the excerpt from The Day God Blinked by Unpatriotic over on No Sleep Reddit. Make sure you guys go over there and give them a good solid subscribe. And always remember, keep your tinfoil hats and your bowls close. You never know, it may happen.
Peace, y'all.